All right, what's going on, everyone? Rob with Everything NYG here. Bodeker Neo, what's up, man?
I'm doing good, Rob. How are things going with you?
Good, man. Let them know where they can find you on Twitter or wherever else you're on.
You can find me at NeoBo97. If you like me tweeting about Oswego women's hockey or just anything about the sports teams I like, especially the Giants when it gets to draft season.
Okay, perfect. So as you guys know, you can find me on Twitter at EverythingNYG. Today we're going to be talking about the offense, defense, free agency, the draft, a little bit of everything. And the goal of this podcast is to be able to get as many of my followers as I can on here, even the ones that I beat up in fantasy, a.k.a. Neil. So let's get this thing going, man. First, we're going to start off with grading the offense A to F and the strengths and the weaknesses of them. And we're going to go down the list. For me, I'm going to start out, I'm going to give the offense a flat B. And I give them a B for a lot of different ways. I think we're loaded with talent on the offense, and I think there's a lot of things that can definitely be improved upon, especially with Joe Judge. Let alone we have Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, the breakout pick, Evan Engram on his fifth year. I don't know if we'll bring him back or not. Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones alone threw 24 touchdowns, 12 picks, and over 3,000 yards. Now, the fumbles were a problem. But I don't know about you, Neil, but if there's one thing that I want to be a problem, it would be fumbles. That can be cleaned up.
Well, that's why you got to have those 10-inch hands like everyone at the Combine loves.
Exactly. And I'd rather have a guy that can come out there. I was at the Tampa game personally, and to see him in his first start be able to do what he did was just beautiful. I mean, you can't coach that.
That was legit a perfect storm for him with all the stuff he had to go through over the summer, getting booed at Yankee Stadium, and everyone in the world hating the pick the night after it happened. Like, it was just a perfect storm for him.
Exactly. And then we have Darius Slayton. And I've been to a lot of Auburn games myself personally, and I always watched Darius Slayton. And when we picked him, a lot of people just saw a lengthy guy that was fast and had a drop problem. And he did, but he seemed to clean that up, man, with 48 receptions, 740 yards, 8 touchdowns, and a 15-yard-per-catch average. And that's without the 3 games he was out on injury. He was electric. He was great filling in for Shepard. I don't think he's a wide receiver one, but I think he's a slot. We can move Shep to 2, but I still do believe that we need that one dedicated number one wide receiver. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's not a lot of height when you look at this wide receiver group. Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate, both of them are around the 5'10 area. Darius Slayton, he's a few inches over 6 feet tall, but I agree with you saying he's not a true wide receiver one yet. Now, we could be wrong, and he could easily come out here and just have an even better year than he did this year. But right now, I think getting that true wide receiver one, this is definitely the draft class to be able to find that.
Absolutely. It's stacked. I mean, just all over the place. You know, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and we'll go into that. But as a whole, and what I will say is now the glaring weakness, the offensive line.
Oh, man.
You know, Dave Gettleman, being a Gettleman hater, as I am, and I know Neil does not like this guy either, but trust me, I have the DMs.
That's how I found you. It was from the Odell video when you were telling Gettleman to go fuck himself.
Yeah, that was the big thing there. That got a million views, and that still haunts me. But breaking down the O-line left to right, we got the bum, the overpaid bum, Nate Solder, at that left tackle side, which, don't get me wrong, we have to keep him, so I'm hoping he has a better year. We have Will Hernandez left next to him, which, honestly, I'm a little disappointed in this last season. I think that he really didn't improve. I think he is just – he's good, and I think he needs a lot of technique work. A question mark at center, and then we have a great right guard in Zeitler. And then at right tackle, what do we have? Break that down for me. What do you think? I mean, the two question marks can be filled in free agency, but what do you think?
I mean, right now, the answer is Mike Remmers, but, you know, he's just – the best ability is availability. He wasn't able to provide that his 1 year. I mean, Jack Conklin could be an option at the right tackle position. We can get into that later, but, you know, Nate Solder, I kind of feel bad for Nate Solder now because it's not his fault that Gettleman offered him that ridiculous contract. Like, that, people need to express their hate more to Gettleman than on that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I agree.
The the two guards, that's the only position that was consistent all year. I agree with you about Will Hernandez. He did not take the leap that he was supposed to in year two, even though I really enjoy Will Hernandez as a player, and he really seems like a hardworking guy, which is what you want out of an offensive lineman. You know, I mean, he might have to make the move to center, and if he doesn't take a step forward this year, because he's got the perfect height for it. He's got really good technique. And, you know, there were just some plays where I was just like, what are you doing? Right, like, there were just, right. You know, the defense was just toying with him sometimes. So maybe a move to center will work. You know, Joe Judge, he'll be able to figure it all out. Everybody's got a clean slate, like he said.
Right, yeah. And I think, like you said, I mean, verbatim is exactly that. I mean, I can see Hernandez moving around the line. Definitely I can't see him as a tackle. But, I mean, if worst comes to worst, try him at center. And because, you know, Jalapio, I think, I mean, I even definitely bit into that hype. I thought he would be a lot better than what he was. And Remmers on that one-year deal, man, let him fish in free agency. You know, that's the offense to me. I want to hear your grade on the offense and kind of what you think about them.
I gave them a C+, and it's I agree with you. This offense has more talent and potential than what we got last year, and I think a lot of that falls on Pat Shurmur and the job he did, because his offense was the most vanilla, predictable offense in the entire NFL. Like, it was it took him until 2 weeks after the bye to realize, hey, Saquon Barkley can catch the ball. I don't just have to run him up the middle every play for him to get 2 yards. So, yeah, Pat Shurmur, I mean, he just didn't know what to do with the tools he had in the toolbox, and it was just really upsetting at times. But Daniel Jones, he impressed me. The Washington game, that's when he had to prove everybody wrong. Everybody. And I was getting into an argument with one person I know. Someone's like, oh, well, he just did that against the Redskins. It's like, well, if he played a shitty game against the Redskins, you'd be saying, oh, he's so bad against the Redskins. Like, some people just don't want to give him a break.
Of course. I mean, and that's how it's going to be throughout his entire career. I mean, a lot of people found me on Twitter because of my love for Daniel Jones going into the draft. And because
he's your twin brother.
Literally. I mean, he really is my twin brother. Look at the picture for this podcast and you'll see why. But you know, Daniel Jones, man, like we were saying, I mean, just to pick you back up on that, I agree with what you're saying about Shurmur. And one of my biggest takes right now that a lot of people still bash me on was how highly I viewed Baker Mayfield years before the draft, years before he was projected to go in the first round. And I think they kind of had the same situation, you know, to put us in their shoes and our new coach, Freddie Kitchens. Look at Baker Mayfield in his first year with a horrible coaching staff and horrible targets, and look how great he was. And then look at year two with a great team around him and not a great coaching staff, and look what happened.
Exactly.
So, and I think with Daniel Jones now, I mean, he benefited off having not the greatest team around him as a whole because of injuries. Now he has what I believe will be a great coach, and hopefully after free agency in the draft, a better surrounding cast. And with that being said, the sky's the limit for Danny Dimes, man. I'm so excited to see what he can do with hopefully, and I emphasize hopefully, Gettleman, hopefully a better team around him.
I'm not holding my breath on that, Robbie. I'm just telling you that right now.
Don't. You'll suffocate.
I can't with this guy.
Shit. Yeah, you'll suffocate. You know, but as a whole, like we both said, man, the defense for us is floating around a C+, a B. It sounds like my grades just good enough, but nothing crazy. So that's what I'll say. The personnel is there. The players are there. The staff is there. Judge has assembled a better staff than I've seen in a long time with the Giants. It's just about putting it together.
Absolutely.
So let's flip over to the defense now, if you're ready for that. This is going to be hard to talk about, but let's flip over to the defense. For me, and I'm being generous, I gave them a D-. And I gave them that simply because of the youth and the D-line. Our D-line, I'll start off by saying our D-line is very good. And a lot of people don't think it is, and this is where I think it's not good, and that's why we need an edge rusher. We have everything on that D-line except for a pure edge rusher. And if we can pick up a pure edge rusher or use the ones that we have, like Lorenzo Carter or O'Shane Zimenez, we'll be good to go. It's all about how you play your personnel. So I'm kind of iffy on it. But as a whole, Dalvin Tomlinson, B.J. Hill, Dexter Lawrence, who was an amazing pick looking back now for what it's worth as a whole, and, you know, Leonard Williams, which is a question mark. But that D-line, man, is good. It's stacked. It's loaded with run stuffers. Where's the pass rusher? That's the biggest issue there. And then breaking it down a little bit more, our cornerbacks are horrible. Really, really, really bad. I mean, Janoris Jenkins, I've been a hater on him for a long time. I never liked him. I thought he was a bum, and I thought he was a Twitter warrior. Thankful he's gone. I'm thankful he messed up. That was a perfect storm. DeAndre Baker, though, I don't think we should have traded back up for him. I think there was better options there. But I think if there's one thing that's good, and just like Kirk Cousins, he channeled the talk and he turned it into better play. And I respect that.
Absolutely.
The second half of the season, I know a lot of people don't like PFF, but he was a top 10 graded corner for like 8 games. He played great. So I'm excited about him, and I think they should move Julian Love potentially to like a nickel corner. I like his presence. I think he could be good. The linebackers are garbage. and emphasize and scream and capitalize and put a cherry on top. Garbage.
That's being generous.
That's being really nice. I mean, Connolly, I'm really excited for him. I like him a lot, and I think he's going to bring a lot, but he's not a middle linebacker one, and he's not going to be here for forever.
No.
You know what I mean? He'll be good, and I like him, and I want him to stay. But talking about it soon, my draft guy, he would fix a lot of problems. But the linebacking core, I mean, getting rid of Alec Ogletree and getting rid of Kareem Martin, who just literally went paycheck to paycheck and never played, cleared $14 million in cap, and it makes us look and feel a lot better. So that was a great move. But who do we have now? I mean, we have the Hawaiian kid, Tuafea or whatever. I don't know how to say his name. Connolly, who's coming back off an injury. And then we have the guys that haven't proven themselves yet, and it's not their fault. O'Shane and Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah.
So the best way of putting it is I don't have much to talk about. I mean, I love Jabril Peppers. He had a bad year. I think he'll be really good. Michael Thomas needs to be only on special teams. The corners as a whole. And for some reason, I'm slipping on his name right now. You know, if you remember, tell me, what's that corner that we drafted in the supplemental draft?
Oh, Sam Beal.
Sam Beal, he's a bust. He can be cut at this point, in my opinion. It might be old takes exposed in a year, but at this point, man, he's on welfare with the Giants. Dude, paycheck to paycheck.
He came in. I remember reading an article saying Sam Beal, best supplemental draft player ever. And when the Giants took him, I was like, oh.
I did.
His highlights. So excited. No, I was too. I was hyped. I remember I was at CCC in my office, and I screamed, yes, we got Sam Beal. Let's go, Dave Gettleman.
I was excited. And you know, honestly, I think my best way of putting it, somebody's going to quote it. He's on welfare with the Giants, man. Paycheck to paycheck.
No doubt.
Doing nothing. But that's kind of my grade on it. I'm not going to go – this episode's more about the draft and free agency, but I wanted to go over this. But what's your run over on the defense? It's your turn.
I gave them a D as well, not a D minus. I was really – I wanted to give them an F, but I wanted to be nice because, like you said, the D line's just absolutely loaded. Dexter Lawrence – I never hated the Dexter Lawrence pick, because I knew what he was, and he was mainly a run stuffer. He's not going to be a guy that can really get to the quarterback, but he's a big body, and he was really shadowed on that loaded Clemson defensive line. But, you know, like you said, you know, our D-line, the way they're building it is the right way. You look at how when the Giants won the 2 Super Bowls, they had close to 8 guys rotating on that defensive line. And you look at what the Eagles did a couple years ago, their defensive line was absolutely stacked. You know, that's right. The direction we're moving in now, and I really enjoy it. And, you know, a weakness. We should have talked before, because I put the secondary as a whole and as a weakness. Because, basically, what I was saying last year is it's basically a college defense. Like, you talked about Janoris Jenkins.
Towards which, college defense. Alabama's better than us.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, talking about Jackrabbit real quick, and then we'll probably never talk about him again because he's finally out of here. When he called the fan the R word as a child of a special needs teacher, I was like, fuck this guy. And fuck Dave Gettleman for talking about character and keeping him around.
Right.
But I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the secondary, it just wasn't good. James Betcher, I really felt bad for James Betcher. I didn't think it was all his fault, but, you know, the groceries that Gettleman gave him, he couldn't do what he needed to do, because Gettleman basically took all the good groceries away from him and gave him all these Basically, he took away vegetables and then gave him seeds and wanted him to grow them into plants in a month.
Damn, that was insightful. That just made me like want to go outside and grow a plant. That was beautiful. That was gorgeous. Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate it, man.
They're just... I mean, straight up, man, they're bad. They're really bad.
It's because of Gettleman. He took away all the productive players. Like Olivier Vernon, that was a good trade. But Landon Collins, if you wanted to get rid of him, you should trade him. And Snacks, like, they just did Snacks dirty. Like, to my life, I'll never understand how he was a locker room problem.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, to me, the Olivier Vernon trade worked out really good. I mean, I think it's hilarious that they're thinking about cutting him now. But
I thought they did.
No, they didn't yet, from what I've seen. They're like debating it. But
okay,
he's a bum. I mean, we all knew that. I'm not going to take credit for it more than anyone else. He's a bum.
You had a great tweet. You were saying, hey, Browns fans, be happy now. But when you need him the most, he's going to be hurt.
Yeah, and what happened?
He was hurt.
You know, there's a lot of things that I have documented on Twitter, and there's a few things I'm wrong on, man. But if I speak something into existence, I ain't saying it without thinking about it. So he's a bum. And I hate to see, you know, what happened with Snacks, man. I don't know where he's going to wind up, but great guy.
Love Snacks.
Flipping over now, man. We're just going to go over what I know a lot of people wanted to hear, and I'm going to put a mark on here if people just came for free agency or they came for the draft. I get that. I get what time of year it is. But free agency targets. I'll start out with naming a few. And my number one target, and everyone's the same, but a lot of people are knocking him now because of his Twitter presence, is Yannick Ngakoue. Incredible player, 24 years old, been great since he came out of Maryland with the Jaguars. Even on an off year, he was a lot better than anyone we had. Outside of Marcus Golden, don't get me wrong, and I want to bring him back. He's not a target, but I want to retain him. Yannick's going to get a big contract, probably close to 100 mil, somewhere in the ballpark, 90-something, 5 year, you know, plus.
Sounds about right.
I think he's going to stir up a big problem in the offseason, man. He's not going to accept the tag, and I can see him pulling a Le'Veon Bell and just straight up saying screw you and not playing because he don't want to be there. I mean, look at the things he's saying online. Somebody yesterday tweeted at him and he said, you know, big news coming Monday, which I never saw what that was. Oh, that's tomorrow. Today's Sunday. Okay. So big news coming tomorrow, apparently. And somebody commented, hopefully coming back to the Jaguars. And he said, I think it was like, ha, you thought or something like that. So that's not happening. Jadeveon Clowney, another one for me. He wants to stay in Seattle. He's going to get overpaid way too much.
Absolutely.
But presence that we need an edge rusher. We need one bad. And those two are the big ones that are there outside of, you know, Shaquille Barrett, stuff like that. But I'm not really going into them. If we can't get either of them, then address a huge need, which is right tackle. And you go pick up Jack Conklin. He's been great. Every year he's been in the league, he's more of a run protector than a pass protector, but been good every year he's been in the league. He's going to get paid a lot. He's, I think, 26. He's going to get paid, and I don't
forget
by Tennessee. And then, you know, flip it back as well on the offensive line, a guy that we should have got, but we got Eli Apple instead, Brandon Scherff. Can't see him staying in Washington, man. If you look when Dwayne Buttskins was over there, they had a video of him trying to talk to the O-line, and Brandon Scherff straight up walked away on him.
Brandon Scherff, he's like, I've been in the league 5 years. I'm a pro bowler. I'm the best in my position. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, I don't know who you are. Go work about on your shoes. I hate Buttskins, man. But I'll run through
I'm my really other glad two. We didn't get him.
Yeah, I'll run through my other two. I know he's going to get tagged, but if I could pick someone, I would love Justin Simmons, but if that can't happen, get Mike Harris from Minnesota. He was graded the best safety in the league this year. He had like 8 picks, man, and he's proven. He was on a 1 year prove it, and he proved it. Played incredible with them. And then just another one to list off, just as an honorable mention, the Giants really want him, is DeMarcus Robinson from the Chiefs. The Giants, from people I know and from league sources in general, the Giants really want DeMarcus Robinson. They see a lot in him. I do too. I can see that happening, and apparently they really like Alshon Jeffery too, but DeMarcus Robinson for me is circled with an exclamation point. I would love to get him. I think he could be a number one. So those are my guys. What are yours, Neil?
for my edge rusher that I'd like them to go after, I chose Kyle Van Noy from the Patriots. Okay. And the reason I'm going to say this, and I'm going to add another guy too, because both are for the same reason, is Matthew Slater, who's probably the best gunner in football and arguably the best gunner of all time, is Joe Judge needs to bring over some guys from New England who know him as a coach and can be voices in that locker room.
Yeah,
because if he's going to come in, and I'm not saying he's going to do this, but if he comes in like Matt Patricia trying to be like Belichick and just scorch the franchise, then you need some voices in that locker room who've been through the Patriot way, know that it works, and, you know, all the young guys or other guys who are like, you know, what is the deal with this? They can come in and say, hey, you know, this works, man. We've won Super Bowls with this. Just listen to Judge, and it's all going to be good, man. He knows what he's doing. But, yeah, and also Kyle Van Noy, we wouldn't have to pay him that much, so we could address other positions and maybe put a little bit more money elsewhere. And Matthew Slater, what would we have to give him? Like $1.5 million, maybe $2 million?
Yeah, because he's not going to play receiver. He's literally going to be a special teams ace, and that's it.
Absolutely, and he's made a whole career by it. He goes to the Pro Bowl every year. He's one of those unsung guys on the Patriots. He's a leader in the locker room, and he's not going to cost that much money. Another guy, two guys, both cornerbacks, Byron Jones and Chris Harris Jr., you know, right. Another former head coach, Jason Garrett, he could tell Dave Gettleman, Joe Judge, everything they need to know about Byron Jones. He was there from the moment they drafted him. He's seen him develop. He knows what the Giants will begin with him. So all they got to do is go to their new offensive coordinator, and he can tell you all you need to know about him. And Chris Harris Jr., he's just an all-around solid cornerback. He wants to get paid, and this is the year he's finally going to get paid. Denver obviously doesn't want to do it for whatever reason. They signed Bryce Callahan from the Bears. That was just, I didn't understand that at all, because you needed to pay Chris Harris Jr. And next guy, I'm going to go with Joe Schobert. You know, yeah, he's okay. A guy who I've been wanting since I found out he was a free agent in September.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I said that the other day. I agree. And Corey Littleton, too, man.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said before, Ryan Conley's not a true playing because he's coming off an ACL injury. And over the last three years, he's had over 100 combined tackles. So you just need a guy like that. And, you know, he's a super underrated guy. And, you know, the rest of the guys I got, you already went over. Jack Conklin, you know, all those other guys.
I agree. 100%.
But one thing that I thought of when you said Brandon Scherff, that could be the Will Hernandez move to center, is if you sign Brandon Scherff, because I didn't think of that before.
100%. No, I agree. Brandon Scherff would be an amazing acquisition. Just straight up, an amazing acquisition. Can't go wrong with him. But let's talk about the big elephant in the room here, the big one, the one that everyone wants to talk about, everyone wants to hear about, and that is going to be the draft. And that's my thing. Everyone knows I love the draft. I dig super deep. I do whatever I can to do everything about it. Exactly. That's where I get excited and ready to roll. So my number one target, and I know people are going to love to hear this, my number one guy is Clemson linebacker / Swiss Army knife Isaiah Simmons. You cannot mess this up. He just destroyed the combine with a 4.39 40, a 39-inch vertical jump, and a 132-inch broad jump. And his versatility is the most elite in college football. And it's not close. Nobody comes close to this guy. He was an absolute animal at Clemson. And he was the same way in high school. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but he was all state on offense and defense back in high school. And, you know, Joe Judge constantly spoke on wanting someone that can change game in and game out and doesn't have to go based off game plan and what people understand, aka Pat Shurmur. He's that. Play him at safety, play him at linebacker, play him at edge. It doesn't matter. I mean, this guy finished his college career with 238 tackles total, 28.5 tackles for losses, 11 sacks, and 4 picks, 2 of them being house calls. It's the clear pick. He'll be there at 4. But after you trade back, it's unlikely. It's unlikely that he'll be there, because if you trade back, you got a few teams that are going to trade up for a quarterback, and he is going to be their BPA. 1,000%. This guy behind Chase Young is my number 2 player in the draft, not considering quarterbacks. Okay, put Joe Burrow aside, put whatever aside. This guy is second behind Chase Young, and it is not close at all. So I'm going to let you talk about your guy, and then I'll talk about my trade back situations.
You know, I'm going to go with another guy. I really love Isaiah Simmons. We got a little group chat going in our fantasy football league, and against in the Ohio State and LSU games, all we could talk about in that group chat was Isaiah Simmons, especially the LSU game, because he was just watch his highlights from that game, because he was all over the place in that game. Amazing. It was just absolutely spectacular. And I think he would fit in with what Joe Judge says, is we're going to find this person's strengths and we're going to use them into our game plan. And I think Joe Judge would be able to work him into it. But, you know, the one, if we're not going to trade back, and let's say hypothetically Isaiah Simmons goes 3 to Detroit, if they don't take a quarterback or trade back, I think Jeff Okuda is going to be the guy. We were just talking about how bad the secondary is, how bad the cornerbacks were. DeAndre Baker's not a true number one cornerback, and right now he's, if the season goes in as it is with the secondary, he's going to be the number one cornerback. So if we don't get a address in free agency, then Jeff Okuda has to be the guy. I don't know what the drill's called, Rob. You can help me with this. When they're running backwards at the combine, the cornerbacks, and then they catch the ball when they turn around.
I just call it the cornerback drill. I don't know, man. To be honest.
All right, we'll call it the cornerback drill.
Yeah, I don't know the name of it, to be straight up with you.
But yeah, just go watch that on Twitter, YouTube.
I think it's called the shuttle drill. Shuttle drill?
Shuttle drill?
Is that what it is?
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Roast me later.
It's when they're going backwards, yeah, and you can roast me too, because, you know, I say I'm a draft guy, and then I come in, I don't know what a draft drill is.
That was bad.
So yeah, when they're running backwards, I'm watching this kid, and I'm just like, holy shit. And a 41-inch vertical, which is only 4 inches away from the record at the combine, he's just absolutely unreal. And I loved how he handled that idiot reporter who probably
– he's got some Deion Sanders in him.
But still, it's like when I saw that reporter or heard what that reporter said, because being in a position where I ask coaches and players questions on a weekly basis, I'm like, that's the one question you came up with when you were sitting in your hotel room last night. Is how do you define your sloppy play when he – and then Jeff Okuda just owned him, which I absolutely loved. You know, I love it when guys do stuff like that at the combine, you know, that they're not taking it as serious and just being themselves and being honest, because that's honestly how you end up in the best situation. It's just being yourself. Now, we'll see how the Giants like that, you know, because Dave Gellman's an old-school guy. He doesn't – you know, you – players that talk, he doesn't like that because he's gotten him out of here. So it's going to be interesting to see. But, yeah, we got to go with that. But if we talking about the second round real quick, if we don't get Brandon Scherff or someone else, they got to take a center with that second pick. And two guys I'm looking at, Cesar Ruiz from Michigan and Tyler Biadasz from Wisconsin. I watch – huge Michigan football fan. I watch him every week. You know, this guy's just – absolutely incredible. Nobody was getting past him. He was an absolute beast. He's huge. He put up, I think, 28 reps at the combine this weekend. And Tyler Biadasz, I've loved this kid ever since his redshirt freshman year. And it looked like he was going to be a first-round prospect, but apparently he might slide to the second round. So if either of them are there and we don't address it, Gellman just has to take one of them. And then I read somewhere that either at the Senior Bowl or the Combine, that the Giants met with Cesar Ruiz. So that's definitely got to be shows that it's a position they're looking at.
Agreed. I understand that. So I agree. You went deeper than I did with the second round, but I'm going to talk real quick. And I didn't address you this. I didn't ask you to, but if I had to pick one diamond in the rough this draft, one guy that I'm going to blast and I'm going to keep my eye on, and I'm going to say is the next Darius Slayton in the fifth round, even though he won't be there, I'm saying maybe third. I'm going to have you guys remember this name. I watched him every week prior to UCF. Incredible freaking player. Gabriel Davis, wide receiver, University of Central Florida. This guy is an absolute freak. He's got the speed of Darius Slayton, the size of damn near Calvin Johnson, and the hands of Michael Thomas. Incredible player. And he was so good for the Knights, man. I mean, no matter who the quarterback was, he just was an absolute animal. So – what I'm going to be blasting is that is my sleeper of the draft, Gabriel Davis, wide receiver, Central Florida. I don't know if you have one that you can speak on right now, but that's my guy.
Let me look up his name just real quick. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, that's the guy, man. Gabriel Davis. Oh, animal.
What's his name? He's another Michigan guy. I forget his name.
Oh, you're talking about the receiver?
No, not Peoples Jones. I like Donovan Peoples Jones, but no, he's a edge rusher slash linebacker, Josh, and I can't remember his last name. His last name's escape. Uchi, it's U-C-H-E. I don't know how to pronounce it, but this guy's just incredible. He was definitely one of the best defensive players at the Senior Bowl, and he'll be there in one of the later rounds where the Giants have picks in the fourth and fifth round. And, you know, he's going to come in and work his ass off. And he's just exactly what the Giants need. But also, I feel like he's going to do it with whatever team he gets. And whoever gets him in whatever round he goes, because it's going to be one of those mid rounds, it's just going to be a steal.
I agree. I know who you're talking about. I looked him up. I know you're I can't pronounce the last name either. But to wrap it up, I want to talk about potential situations where if we do trade back and we do the dumbass decision of trading on the lock pick, Isaiah Simmons. So say we do that dumbassery, Dave Gettleman, eat a donut. If that does happen, to me, this draft is stacked. This is one of the best drafts I've ever seen in my life. If you want an edge rusher, you trade back and you take Espinoza. Going to be a great player. He's going to be a poor man's Chase Young. Incredible player. He'll be good. He'll be very good. Go check his stats. Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama is going to be a god. I mean, he's going to be stupid good. Same thing with CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, same thing with CeeDee Lamb, man. Gonna be an animal. I mean, you saw the combine. He's gonna be a freak. Henry
Aside Ruggs, from the 40, CeeDee Lamb was awesome at the combine.
Look at Henry Ruggs as well. Three receivers right there that I just named off. And then the big one that everyone seems to be kind of falling off on is Andrew Thomas. Give me any of those guys if we pass on Isaiah Simmons and do something stupid. Give me any of them, and I'm more than okay. I'll live. What about you?
If we're trading back one of the offensive tackles, just any one of them, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but Mark Ross was raving about Tristan Wirfs after his workout. And I saw was Giants fans comment, Eric Flowers. And it just had me dying. So I was like, okay, so the Giants shouldn't take Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, everyone was talking about him because he was like Eric Flowers, super raw and run blocks, but can't pass block. That's why everybody was saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, you know, one of the offensive tackles, Derrick Brown, the guy from Auburn, who was just absolutely dominant in the SEC. So one of those guys would be really good. Otherwise, if we trade back too far, like if we're trading back past 7, Okuda or Simmons is not going to fall to us.
No, Simmons won't be there or Okuda, I think, anywhere near or after 8.
No chance.
I can't see that happening. I mean, Jeudy will be there. Espinoza will be there. CeeDee Lamb. Well, Jeudy, you know, that might not be true. Judy's going to be the first receiver off the board. Where he goes, I don't know. But he'll be the first receiver off the board. Or we might see a John Ross situation and see Henry Ruggs. I don't know.
I think with Jerry Jeudy, it's just going to take on whoever's making the decision on the pick. Someone is going to fall in love with this guy. And, you know, it all just depends on where. Because Dave Gettleman could leave the combine saying how much he loves Jerry Jeudy. Because the one thing that about Jerry Jeudy that I know his game is going to translate to the NFL is his route running is just on a whole other level.
He's Julio Jones. He's Odell Beckham. You know what I mean? He's the same.
Absolutely. And my dad's – I think I've said this in our group chat. My dad's a huge Alabama fan. He's been watching Alabama since before Saban got there. And he said to me, this guy's the best I've seen since Julio.
Oh, yeah. No, literally. I mean, perfect. Like you can't put it anymore. He's literally going to be the next Julio. And if people are going to hate me for this, I've always think Julio is a tad bit overrated, just a little bit. And people are going to hate me for that. But he is 100% the next Julio Jones. I mean, where is he not? I mean, we got to have another Michael Thomas. We got to have another Julio. I hate to say it. We got to have another Odell. And with one of these guys, it's impossible that one of them isn't.
Absolutely.
It's just got to be. So with that being said, that's all I got for you guys on this first episode. But Neil, you've been an incredible first ever on this podcast guest. Thank you so much for being here, man. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be the very first one. And hopefully I can come back on here when we get closer to draft, man, when hopefully I'll get some names right next time.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. It was great. And like I said, thank you to everyone that's listening. And from everyone that's a part of Everything NYG, or maybe you're just becoming to understand who I am, I appreciate each and every one of you more than you know. This account means the world to me, and I've met some of my closest friends, including Neil, through that account. So thank you for supporting me. Thank you for following me. Thank you for listening to us. And again, Neil, thank you for being here. And I can't wait to talk to you guys next time. All right, guys. Peace.